So where Jensen Huang is standing next to the bubble with an air compressor that he's shoved into its ass, Lisa Su is standing nearby with a bicycle pump.
Why wouldn't you want more intelligence? Of course you want more intelligence.
The market for high performance and AI computing over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years is going to reach $2 trillion of TAM.
We now expect the server CPU market to grow by over 50% to over $200 billion by 2030, going up to over $2 trillion as we go through 2030. The AI accelerator market is going to reach about $1.4 trillion by 2030. So what do you think about that? Is that a big number?
Just harp on the analysts because the stock's down today. Some of these analysts are somehow thinking that your CPU business, because it's lower margin, is going to hurt you. I don't see how that's possible. I think it's just 100% additive. Am I too bullish about AMD?
Well, I think, Jim, you're right on a couple of aspects.
You know they need to keep the money flowing whenever the executives wheel out Jim Cramer and CNBC. AMD made a record $11.5 billion in revenue during the second quarter of 2026, an increase of 50% compared to last year. But AMD's gaming revenue is down 31%. Shocker! Surely nobody saw this coming. Surely NVIDIA wouldn't hide its gaming revenue months prior within the broader edge computing category to disguise how much the gaming revenue has declined, leaving AMD out to dry when it forgets to do the same for its own numbers. Nobody could have ever seen this coming. Fueled by a reckless data center buildout that's consuming the global memory supply, AMD's data center revenue is up 107% compared to last year. AMD's data center segment increased its operating income by a whopping 1,457% year over year. But it does come with a different important caveat, which is in the second quarter of 2025, AMD's data center business recorded a negative operating income due to AMD taking an $800 million charge on MI308 inventory from the US government's export controls. But that's okay, because AMD and the US government made up, and Trump agreed to let AMD sell its own AI GPUs to China, as long as the government got a 15% cut. No, wait, 25%. They wanted that later, out of the sales from AMD's MI325X exports. Which makes sense, because Lisa's been busy making friends with Epstein Island's tourist Howard Lutnick and Melania, going to the movie premiere where the First Lady grifted tens of millions of dollars from tech companies. And of course, President Trump now actually remembers Lisa's name.
The incredible work that your administration has done to support the semiconductor industry. You know, we're building the brains behind all of the wonderful AI that's being built here.
Lisa Su of AMD. Lisa? Lisa? Thank you. Congratulations. Great job.
Despite the government's meddling, although it seems to be both ways now, AMD isn't shedding any tears, because the company still sold billions of dollars worth of data center hardware last quarter. AMD's data center segment generated $6.7 billion in revenue and $2.1 billion in operating income. In fact, AMD's data center business has grown drastically ever since the AI hive mind has infected every single executive on the planet, because they will become one with AI. Resistance is futile.
Why do you resist? We only wish to raise quality of life for all species.
I like my species the way it is.
A narrow vision. You will become one with the Borg.
For the same time frame in 2022, AMD made $1.5 billion in revenue and $472 million in operating income. From 2022 to 2026, AMD increased both revenue and operating income from its data center business by more than 4x. Today, AMD's growth in data center alone has far surpassed what it makes in the consumer business. Last quarter, AMD's data center business made nearly 4 times as much operating income as its client and gaming segment did. AMD's gaming revenue even decreased by about $300 million, falling below $1 billion. While its gaming revenue falls, AMD expects its data center business to accelerate further in the second half of 2026. AMD nearly went bankrupt over a decade ago. Today, AMD is setting revenue records, but it's specifically consumers, and actually gamers in particular, who helped AMD survive off of what seemed like single-digit margins on gaming consoles, like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 with semi-custom AMD chips. The company saw a major boon when it finally launched its new Zen architecture, where gaming and home workstation users enabled AMD to finally become relevant again. So now AMD, like its friends, doesn't need consumers. It can just keep selling back to the businesses. Before that, this video is brought to you by Thermaltake and the TR200 WS Micro Chassis, a Micro ATX stout case. It includes an optional 5.25 bay for either a screen or 5.25 drives. The case has a highly perforated side panel, a color accent front styled like other popular cases, can fit radiators, and closed loop liquid coolers in the top, up to 360mm claimed support, and a total of 7 120mm fan mounting locations between the top, bottom, and rear of the case. Max CPU tower cooler clearance is claimed at 175mm and GPU clearance at 365mm. The chassis provides a portable, highly compatible box for your builds. Learn more at the link in the description below. Now that 31% revenue fall in gaming is really interesting. So yes, AMD is doing very well elsewhere in the company, but what that does is give us the first real insight to what we know is happening in the consumer industry, but with some more numbers to it, where previously all we've had to work with is some of the figures from the case and cooler and peripheral manufacturers, but a lot of those companies aren't publicly traded. So this is like verified data, at least to the extent it can be. And it's our first real look at the impact of these companies shifting their focus and the RAM prices skyrocketing because NVIDIA hid its gaming numbers previously, where it moved its gaming revenue into a broader computing category for what they call edge. And that meant that until AMD's earnings, we haven't had a way to see silicon vendor numbers and chip designer numbers for just how completely fucked the consumer market is. Now, we knew from the numbers obtained in our Collapse documentary, which is now unironically available on Blu-ray on our store and still for free on YouTube, those numbers showed a year-on-year decline of 40 to 70% for some of the case and cooling and various component manufacturers. If AMD is down 30%, that means that companies that have more competition, like case makers or motherboard makers, they're down even more. And they're splitting it more ways. So the difference is that AMD, unlike these other component makers, isn't hurting because AMD rakes in the billions elsewhere. Although it has consolidated its consumer PR team into being mostly run by two people who have a very old school approach to buddy-buddy media relations, but that's kind of a topic for a different time. It does, however, give us some insight into the fact that AMD's getting rid of its consumer PR people who are actually really good and focused on consumer PR and knew how to work with the media, and now they don't have them for those roles. So as a backdrop, Lisa has finally also let the facade slip to let us all know that her company is just as, we think, corrupt as the memory makers.
And everybody is so friendly. Everyone loves each other, even if they're competitors, it doesn't matter.
All right, so coming from the world of consumer hardware reviews, it's been pretty interesting to see how AMD has applied its exact same unsuccessful strategy for GPUs to its AI build-out business. Where with GPUs, the strategy is do whatever NVIDIA is doing and subtract $50 for it and kind of hope for the best. And now they're doing that same thing, it's just on a scale of subtracting billions of dollars instead, and it's in the form of investments. We've spent multiple videos going over NVIDIA's and Micron's financials. Now we're turning towards AMD for this one, and AMD doesn't generate the headlines like NVIDIA does, but it is very important to this whole discussion. AMD doesn't have the billions upon billions of dollars to fund the AI ecosystem, to backstop data center deals and prop up the AI bubble. AMD doesn't exceed more than $1 trillion in market capitalization like NVIDIA, the memory manufacturers, and the hyperscaler cloud companies. Regardless, AMD's fortunes have risen with the AI infrastructure build-out, if you can call it a build-out, and we also think that AMD is in a riskier position than NVIDIA if the bubble were to spontaneously deflate. So where Jensen Huang is standing next to the bubble with an air compressor that he's shoved into its ass, Lisa Su is standing nearby with a bicycle pump.
AI is a tool to help all of our businesses become more productive. This is where we make AI, give the AI the opportunity with all the tools and all the capabilities to really bring meaningful real world impact.
I think AI compute equates to intelligence, and why wouldn't you want more intelligence? Of course you want more intelligence.
AMD is riding the AI wave. Just recently, AMD said it would invest up to $5 billion in Claude creator Anthropic, expand its data center deployments with Meta, and support the GPU rental industry, known as NeoClouds, to compete with NVIDIA. AMD had a market cap around $100 billion when OpenAI released ChatGPT in November 2022. Today, AMD's market cap is around $800 billion. On August 4th, AMD released its earnings for the second quarter of 2026. AMD generated a record $11.5 billion in revenue with a gross margin of 54%. Wow, that is gross. More than half of AMD's revenue came from data center customers. AMD's data center business generated $6.7 billion in revenue for the quarter, up 107% year over year. Further, AMD's data center segment made $2.1 billion in operating income, an increase of, and yes, this is a real number, 1,457% compared to the second quarter of 2025.
So what do you think about that? Is that a big number?
AMD's data center figures do come with a caveat, courtesy of the federal government. In April 2025, AMD announced that it would take charges of around $800 million due to the government's export controls. As we said a moment ago, AMD was prevented from exporting its MI308 GPUs to China. AMD and the government reached a deal a few months later that would allow AMD to export MI308s, but AMD still recorded $800 million worth of charges in 2025 second quarter results. Now, where it gets interesting, by which we mean depressing, is comparing AMD's data center revenue figures to its gaming figures. AMD's client and gaming segment bundles several AMD product categories, including Ryzen processors for desktops and laptops in its client business, and Radeon GPUs in the gaming business. AMD's gaming business also includes semi-custom SoC or system-on-chip products. In total, AMD generated $3.8 billion in revenue and $582 million in operating income in its client and gaming segment. AMD's operating income actually decreased from a year prior, when AMD made $767 million in this segment. AMD's client business made $3.1 billion in revenue, an increase of 23% year over year. On the other hand, AMD's gaming business decreased by 31% to a mere $779 million compared to the prior year period. AMD CEO Lisa Su addressed the gaming revenue drop on the earnings call.
In gaming, revenue declined 31% year over year to $779 million, primarily due to lower semi-custom sales at this stage of the console cycle. Gaming graphics revenue also declined year over year as higher industry-wide component costs contributed to higher graphics card prices and weighed on overall demand.
In addition to mentioning the higher component costs, otherwise known as the memory shortage that AMD is helping contribute to, AMD blamed its declining gaming revenue on the late stage of the console cycle. Now, that is part of it, because it does sell semi-custom chips and the consoles currently are pretty old. But Microsoft and Sony are not just not selling as many Xbox and PlayStations as they used to, they've also increased the prices because of the component shortages or elevated costs, largely because of AMD participating in that market as well. So it's interesting that she's talking about how it's the late stage of the console cycles that are to blame for this, seemingly trying to avoid firm language as to just how completely fucked the consumer market is for reasons not related to how old the devices are. It's like, at this point, it's less about the age of the devices and it's more about the entire rest of the industry being too expensive for people to get into. But AMD wants to keep one foot in the door of gaming, so that's what we see. This hurts companies like Hite, Fractal, Arctic, and other small innovative brands in the space disproportionately. And that's what we're continuing to see, where the knock-on effect will be less investment in risk-taking designs, a cost down in the component quality. You'll see thinner steels, for example, worse grommets in cases, coolers that cut corners, and focus on just more LEDs and screens as opposed to more features that actually require engineering to advance them. That's where we'll see the impact. And again, critically, a loss of talent that we can't get back, and possibly at the end of this, companies shuttering or being bought or merged into. So we covered all this in that 3-hour documentary previously linked below, but now we're really starting to see the impacts of it on a verifiable side with those silicon numbers. That's the important thing here. So AMD shared more detail about its gaming woes in a financial filing. In the first half of 2026, AMD generated $1.5 billion in revenue from gaming, a decrease, they say, of 15% from the first half of 2025. Again, AMD cited lower semi-custom revenue for the decline in gaming with a very shallow depth to the analysis. The company said the decline was, quote, partially offset by higher sales, end quote, of Radeon GPUs, although weirdly, Lisa Su also said that graphics demand declined year over year. AMD makes chips for Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation, and AMD's fortunes rely upon console sales. AMD says that its success of, quote, its semi-custom SoC products and its client and gaming segment is dependent on securing customers for its semi-custom design pipeline and consumer market conditions. including the success of game console systems and next generation consoles for Sony and Microsoft, end quote. Someone get them to use some AI to insert some punctuation into that run-on sentence. The memory shortage has driven console prices higher. Sony and Microsoft each increased prices for PlayStation and Xbox consoles, respectively, this year. AMD also supplies Valve for its Steam Machine, which was massively delayed and which is constrained by memory supply, and supplies the Steam Deck hardware. Steam Decks saw a price increase this past year, likely reducing demand alongside their age. In a blog post from April 6th, Sony said it decided to increase prices for the PlayStation 5, PS5 Pro, and PlayStation Portal handheld due to, quote, continued pressures in the global economic landscape, end quote. A PS5 console with 1 terabyte of storage now costs $650, and that's actually late in the cycle, like AMD was saying, but that price is what we think matters. The PS5 Pro Edition costs $900. Adding a disk drive puts you around $1,000, although you won't need that anymore, according to Sony. Microsoft shared more than Sony when it came to gouging gaming customers. On June 25th, Microsoft said that, quote, console storage and memory prices have increased by more than 2.5x, end quote, and that it expects another doubling by the fall of 2027. Microsoft further said, quote, the entire consumer electronics industry is struggling with the current components crisis, but the effects are particularly hard on consoles. Unlike phones, computers, speakers, and other consumer devices, consoles are typically not sold at a profit, but instead for less than they cost to make, end quote. Just to be clear here, the call is coming from inside of the house. Microsoft can't pretend that it's a bystander subject to the price increases when it is a large driver for the reason those prices go up. I mean, Microsoft's own CEO brags about how AI is addictive and how he's a token maxer.
I'm like a token maxer too, so it's addictive. It's kind of like, hey, I love this thing.
So it's not like they don't have any control over the situation. I mean, they're buying inventory that by their own admission, they don't even power on.
You may actually have a bunch of chips sitting in inventory that I can't plug in. In fact, that is my problem today, right? It's not a supply issue of chips. It's actually the fact that I don't have warm shells to plug into.
Microsoft made $90 billion last quarter with a gross margin of 67%. We think they can afford to sell a few consoles at a loss if they want to actually compete with Sony and Nintendo, but that's not what it's about. As prices have increased, console sales have gone down. In its last quarterly financial update, Sony disclosed that PS5 hardware decreased to 1.6 million units from 2.5 million units in the same period the year prior. Similarly, in July, Microsoft disclosed that its Xbox hardware revenue declined by 29% year over year. Over a decade ago, AMD made deals with Microsoft and Sony to supply them with semi-custom chips for their next-generation consoles. These deals helped AMD stay alive and keep from folding, even by AMD's own admission. In July 2024, Tom's Hardware reported that AMD's Senior Director of Consumer and Gaming Client Business said that the PlayStation 4 chip was, quote, one of the most successful launches in AMD history, helping AMD to avoid bankruptcy, end quote. In our own interview with AMD's engineers, Amit Mehra said that Ryzen was a gamble to save the company.
We were betting the company on Zen, effectively, right? That's how we were treating it, right?
Yeah.
Were we really? I don't know, but it was close.
Just to be clear, those engineers, still awesome, but AMD has changed, and AMD doesn't want to play with us anymore. And I'm not just talking Gamers Nexus, I mean consumers. Lisa Su called AMD a, quote, data center first company, end quote, back in 2024. AMD's data center business continues to surge while its gaming business, especially for consoles, is showing signs of weakness. So AMD's gaming and console businesses have gone from a literal lifeline that kept the company afloat when it was on the verge of bankruptcy, when they talk about betting the company on an architecture that was sold to gamers and consumers. They've gone from that to that entire segment being an afterthought. They would love for it to be a rounding error. It's not quite there for AMD like it is for Nvidia, but that would be the objective, we think. And these days, AMD is all in on AI.
This is like an incredible moment for AI. You know, we look at our market, spend time with our customers all the time. And from what we see today, the market for high performance and AI computing over the next 4 or 5 years is going to reach $2 trillion of TAM and market opportunity. So it's really huge and tremendous.
AMD hosted its Advancing AI event in late July and launched its new data center solution, Helios.
Now, Helios is built to train and run the most demanding frontier models in the world at massive scale. And I have a lot of show and tell for you. So for those of you who know me, you know that I love holding up chips. I call myself sometimes the Vanna White of chips.
How do you do, fellow kids?
What?
In a press release, AMD said Helios is for, quote, frontier AI, large-scale inference, and foundation model training, end quote. AMD Helios combines multiple data center technologies, including Instinct GPUs, EPYC CPUs, Pensando solutions, and AMD software into one rack-scale solution. Helios racks are packed with AMD silicon. Helios includes 72 Instinct MI455X GPUs and 18 EPYC Venice CPUs in one rack. AMD's Venice CPUs would be the first from the company to use its new Zen 6 architecture. It's not necessarily abnormal for these companies to launch a new architecture with enterprise first. We have seen that a lot in the past. Not always, sometimes it does come to consumer first. But what's different here is that the data center world is getting Zen 6. And AMD's gaming revenue is down. Woe is them, I guess. But in the gaming world, what we're getting is a re-release of the 5800X3D, which is a nearly five-year-old CPU that AMD has gracefully bestowed upon us. Like, we should be fucking thankful to them for remembering to ship something this year, even though I still personally think that the 5800X3D re-release is a means of maximizing the amount of times that you can get a customer to buy a CPU for the same platform by treating the RAM situation as an opportunity. It is an opportunistic launch that's preying on the fact that people can't afford DDR5 and they're staying on DDR4. That's what I think that launch is, but that's what we get. And then a 7700X3D from a prior generation that gets hardly a whisper into the media from AMD. So that's what the consumers get. At the Advancing AI event, AMD promoted many partners that will use AMD's new data center hardware. We'll talk about a few of those, starting with OpenAI. OpenAI plans to use AMD's Helios solutions across multiple deployments in the second half of 2026, with data center deployments accelerating in 2027. According to AMD's press release, these Helios deployments would mark the initial phase of the 6-gigawatt deployment that AMD and OpenAI announced in October 2025. AMD called it a true, quote, win-win for both companies, end quote.
Win-win-win.
AMD won so hard that it offered OpenAI a piece of itself. At that time, AMD issued OpenAI a warrant that would allow it to acquire up to 160 million shares of AMD stock that would vest as specific milestones are achieved. AMD's press release said, quote, the first tranche vests with initial 1-gigawatt deployment, with additional tranches vesting as purchases scale up to 6 gigawatts, end quote. In addition to the news with OpenAI, AMD expanded upon a prior agreement with Meta. Per AMD's press release, Meta is a lead customer for AMD's EPYC Venice CPUs and will deploy a custom MI450-based GPU. Meta is upgrading its GPU hardware after using AMD's MI300X and MI350 GPUs. Meta and AMD already partner for large-scale data center deployments. In February this year, AMD and Meta announced that they would deploy up to 6 gigawatts of AMD Instinct GPUs. The first deployment would begin in the second half of 2026. AMD and Meta would also align their roadmaps across silicon, systems, and software. AMD took the same approach with Meta as it did with OpenAI with regard to letting Meta own AMD's stock. AMD said that it, quote, issued Meta a performance-based warrant for up to 160 million shares of AMD common stock, structured to vest as specific milestones associated with Instinct GPU shipments are achieved, end quote. So we're seeing a pattern here. If you buy enough AMD GPUs, then you get the privilege of also buying AMD's shares. And really the concern, look, companies owning part of companies is not new, obviously, but the amount of it we're seeing now, especially between companies that are all propping each other up, that should really be setting off a lot of alarm bells for people. I think I'm not an economist. I'm just like I'm a computer hardware reviewer, and otherwise on the financial side, a pretty normal guy. And I'm just looking at it going, Did anyone see the the cards and the house, and it's kind of pyramid shaped. None of this has happened yet either. That's the interesting thing, like a lot of these deals. And these financial filings confirm that none of the warrant shares for OpenAI or Meta have vested or become exercisable yet. Further, at the Advancing AI event, AMD and Anthropic agreed to a deal where Anthropic would deploy up to 2 gigawatts of AMD's MI450 GPUs and Helios solutions. The first deployment would begin in the first half of 2027. As part of the deal, AMD said it would invest up to $5 billion in Anthropic. Maybe AMD felt pressure to give Anthropic money. NVIDIA, Microsoft, Micron, Amazon, Google, Samsung, and SK Hynix have all already given Anthropic money. AMD didn't want to be left behind. And we think the next 12 to 18 months are going to be crucial for AMD more than typically. And that's specifically because a lot of these agreements and deals are coming due, and these milestones are coming up, where if they're not hit, that's going to have a big impact on how all the companies that are propping each other up work. At least assume I have to start using that bicycle pump when Jensen Huang runs out of air to compress in his compressor or something. I mean, there should be a lot of air, but I guess if you suck it all out of the atmosphere and shove it into a bubble, then it probably does start to run a little low on the outside. Now, when the bubble does finally collapse, with Jensen Huang, he did say in that video about clowns that we posted the other day that the bubble will come someday. So when that day comes, thank you, Jensen, for putting that on record. That'll be useful one day. I guess our hope is that hopefully consumers have a long enough memory to not buy from these fucking companies until they feel pain when their B2B side, hopefully at some point, does show a response to reality, is how I'll phrase it. And you know, you stretch out the life of prior devices as long as possible, or who knows, maybe there's some competition at some point. It probably comes from China at this point, because that's kind of the only place we're seeing GPU and CPU development come out right now. It's just, it's not quite at the level yet that we see from AMD and NVIDIA. Maybe it'd be nice to point to Intel and say, go there, but then Intel is owned like 5% or so by NVIDIA, so it's kind of a shallow victory on that front. And they're all involved here. They're all guilty. So anyway, Oracle said it would deploy 50,000 AMD Instinct GPUs in the third quarter of 2026. That is coming due, with more to come in 2027. AMD and Meta have a 6 gigawatt data center deployment agreement, and those are set to begin in the second half of 2026. AMD has a similar 6 gigawatt agreement with OpenAI. AMD will start shipping Helios systems to Microsoft in the second half of 2026. AMD's 2 gigawatt deal with Anthropic is slated to start in the first half of 2027. AMD's 500 megawatt deal with a neo cloud called Core Scientific will begin in 2027. We could go on. The point is, AMD has billions upon billions of dollars of commitments that are coming due with hyperscale and cloud companies and frontier AI model makers over the next 12 to 18 months or so. In July, Andy held an investor roundtable, and Lisa Su tried to reassure investors about its market predictions with a roundabout answer.
We continue to see just very significant demand across virtually every part of the portfolio. And I think that gives us a lot of near-term confidence in, these higher market projections. That being said, I mean, we have to see how things develop over time. So I wouldn't say that our crystal ball is perfect, but I can say that it's self-consistent. So it's self-consistent that assumes, all of the aspects of, is power available, is supply available, is capital available, and is productivity going to be able to close, that loop when we're looking at TAMs.
Once you disentangle the execu lizard speak back into plain English, there's a lot of assumptions packed into that statement. We'll try to simplify her answer. We think she's saying that for AMD's projections to become reality, data centers would need ample power, they don't have currently. The tech industry would need adequate supply, which we don't have currently. AI companies would need funding, which we do seem to have that part. And the promise of AI's productivity gains need to actually pay off, i.e. the product needs to have a reason to exist. In other words, AI will need to start making or saving many more companies a lot more money, because right now it's not. But for now, even if they don't, AMD is still profiting off of the promise of AI. And hopes and dreams are pretty high margin. It's not a whole lot of cost built into those. We'll look back at AMD's financials from 4 years ago when AMD began separating out its data center revenue in second quarter 2022. So we can use that to compare. At the time, AMD said that it aligned its, quote, financial reporting with the way AMD now manages its business and strategic end markets, end quote. AMD's data center segment includes revenue from server CPUs, data center GPUs, Pensando, and Xilinx. In the second quarter of 2022, AMD's data center business made $1.5 billion in revenue, an increase of 83% year over year, thanks to customers buying EPYC processors. Of that, AMD recorded $472 million in operating income. In the same 2022 timeframe, AMD made $2.2 billion from its client segment and $1.7 billion from the gaming segment. Combined, the client and gaming businesses made around $3.9 billion in revenue. Comparing these numbers to the second quarter of 2026, AMD's data center segment made about $6.7 billion in revenue, so it's up. AMD's clients and gaming segment generated about $3.8 billion. In 2022 to 2026, AMD's data center revenue grew by more than, again, 4x, while AMD's combined client and gaming revenue is about the same. A big shocker, there's only so much consumer hardware that consumers can buy when consumer hardware prices keep going up and wages are relatively stagnant and there's inflation and all this other stuff. But the really staggering thing, even at this point, to me, as someone who's been following this really closely for a while, is that just the other day saw a story that was like, memory prices are up 7 to 10 times year over year. And my first thought was, yeah, we know this is like really old news. Like this has been true for quite some time now. It's been up 7 to 10x in some categories of memory for a while. And then I realized the point of it, which was that's up from when it was already starting to go up. Slowly, it wasn't bad until October, November, but it was starting. And so that marker, that reference point we have is now the elevated reference point. That's the shift of the Overton window. That's the shift of what's acceptable, of what our reference point is. As we go on, I hope people remember that, where when these prices might eventually have to slightly come down, it's not gonna be a big celebration, it goes back to normal. That shit's never coming back. Like, I'm happy to put that up. You can clip this if you want, I don't give a fuck. It's not coming back to the prices that it used to be. It might go down, and I hope one day it goes down a lot. I hope these companies get what's coming to them, and it comes back down for consumer. I just don't see it going back down to those lowest, basically historic low levels that we had, at least per gigabyte, or however you want to split it up, without some kind of other trade-off. And I'd love to be wrong. And I hope I am. And I hope someone can clip this one day and be like, look, he's wrong. It's 2035 and the prices are lower than ever. But, you know, given inflation's on my side, I think I got a pretty good shot there. So anyway, that's without inflation adjustment. But the point is, AI data centers are supported by mega corporations and governments and the financial industry. So everyone who has an air compressor has their air compressor hooked up to the ass of the bubble. And everyone who's got a bicycle pump is doing their best to contribute, like AMD. And I guess you've got some people standing in there with a needle like Sam Altman or like Elon Musk, where they're just like, should I be the one who does this? Or Oracle. Oracle's really probably the real one in there with the needle. Oracle's like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna fucking do it. I'll fucking kill this bubble if you don't keep me afloat. So anyway, you know, broader socioeconomic commentary. We know that wealth has continued to shift towards the very top percentage of wealth holders. And a lot of those, I'll say entities rather than just people, because it includes, you know, I'll include the companies here. A lot of those entities are the ones that are, at this point, the customers for the product, too. They make it and they buy it. And that just means that, as we've seen, even consumers buying, let's say there is supply to buy and it's at an okay price, like if things go south with data centers, I don't think it's even gonna be enough to support some of these companies. But there's something like NVIDIA, they'll probably be fine. But it's just, as a non-finance person, but looking at the earnings and the numbers we're talking about these days and where we've come from in just 6 years, where like gaming and consumer was such a big part of the businesses, if something really goes south in the B2B world and someone crashes in a way that calls into question the rest of the investments, know, that's, I think that's when we see the spiral. So anyway, I'm not an expert in that stuff, but that's my feeling on it. As we mentioned earlier, Lisa Su said AMD is a data center first company now. That was back in 2024. She was ahead of the game. And her statement becomes more true over time. And I'll just say this. As someone who's reviewed AMD hardware for a long time, I could tell you firsthand how we'd have these calls and discussions and conversations with AMD. And my experience, broadly speaking, with some exceptions of some really good PR people who stepped in, and by good PR people, I mean actually cared about the end user, like the type of people who would take our feedback and bring it to management and say, they're right, can we fix this? That's what I mean by good PR people, not spin doctors. Those people are largely out of the way at AMD now. They're not, we don't interact with them anymore. They're not, some of them are not there anymore. Some of them have moved to other departments. But with the exception of those people, AMD's, my experience has been that AMD's upper management and AMD's people in control of marketing and PR have, I think, always played dirty. And we've talked about that over the years. And I guess all I can say is I'm happy the rest of the world sees it now. Because this is something we've talked about, and it's always been very difficult to talk about, where it's like, yeah, you know the dirty shit that NVIDIA does? Have you thought maybe AMD does the same stuff? They're just the underdog, so they've got that protective shield around them. I'm glad people can see it. That's all I have to say about that. So the facade is falling. But anyway, we'll have more to talk about. Subscribe for more. Go to store.gamersnexus.net or patreon.com/gamersnexus to support us directly. And we'll see you all next time.